Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. I trust that you're doing well. I trust that you are enjoying the goodness of the Lord in this season. Our God is truly amazing. He's truly faithful. Wherever you are joining us from, around this country, around the world, I thank you tonight. And whatever platform you are joining us on, it's always a blessing. It delights my soul so much to have the saints come around the Word of God with us. It is exciting to dig into the Word of God together and to see the noticeable impact that that Word is making in the lives of God's children. I know that many of you have had testimonies. Certainly many of us have had testimonies, evidences of the things that the Word of God has accomplished and continues to accomplish in our lives as we go through these messages. So thank you again tonight. We're going to dive right into the Word. Let's share a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you. Again, we bless your holy name. Thank you for this precious opportunity that you have given to us to come together with the saints around the Word of God. What a mighty blessing. Lord, we thank you. We lift you up. We adore you. I ask God that you feed us again with your manna tonight. Grant us illumination, revelation, understanding, clarity in your Word, the Word of truth. I thank you for it, Father. I pray for all of my brothers and sisters, everyone under the sound of my voice tonight, wherever they are joining us from, and those that might be listening to this afterwards. I pray your blessings over them and their families, their loved ones. I give you the glory and the praise, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you again so much for joining us tonight. Renovate your mind, elevate your life. Renovate your mind, elevate your life. That's what we have been studying for a few months now. Isaiah chapter 55, the Word of God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, so that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Glory to God. What we have been learning about studying this past few weeks, months, is how to renovate our minds so that we can think like God. How to renovate our minds so that we can think like God. Because when we think like God, and when we think like God consistently on a regular basis, then there's an elevation that comes into our lives. The Bible says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, you will be able to see the clear difference between what the Lord is doing in your life, in my life, how he's helping us to operate at a higher level, a place of distinction that is far above the rest of the world. And this is not a given. It's not automatic that when we give our lives to Christ, our minds are automatically renewed. We've studied this quite a bit. We must be active participants in this process. We must be. That's why in Romans chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, the Bible tells us we should not be conformed to this world. That's the main thrust of that second verse in Romans chapter 12. He says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So we want to think like God so that we can experience the good, the acceptable, the perfect will of God. How do we do this? Without going through all of the preambles and some of the different things that we have studied over the last few months, let's dive right into it. We have been looking at the very first aspect, the very first step to renewing our minds. We can't jump over this step. There are no shortcuts. Amen. We can't say, well, let's go on quickly to something else. No, this is foundational. This is original. This is the origin. This is where it all begins. Embracing the truth is the very first key to renovating our minds as believers. Every renovation of the mind begins with the revelation of the truth. Every renovation of the mind begins with the revelation of truth. Let me say it one more time. Every renovation of the mind begins with the revelation of truth. Without the revelation of truth, we cannot succeed in renovating our minds. This is not a mental exercise. This is a supernatural process. And that supernatural process engages us at a supernatural level. Amen. Every renovation of the mind begins with the revelation of truth. I really like, before we read a couple of scriptures that we read last week on the truth, glory to God, I really like I like what Paul the Apostle said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, where he was talking about us praying. He was challenging us as believers to pray for our leaders and pray for those that are put in authority over us. But then he said something in verse 5 that I really want us to read tonight. So in 1 Timothy chapter 2, you know, I exhort therefore, first of all, supplication, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men and kings and all of that. But then in verse 4, he says, well, in verse 3, he says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." What? Praying, what he just told us to do. Praying for those that are in leadership, praying for those and praying for people that are in authority, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We may live a peaceable and godly life, quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. He said, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." You know, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where he says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Here he says, "This is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, in the sight of God our Savior." Then in verse 4, it says this, "Who will have all men," that is all of his creation, men and women everywhere, "God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Look at that. In the same breath where the Lord talks about how good and acceptable it is to him that we live quiet, peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. In that same breath, he talks about his will, his desire. Who will? That is, it's the will of God It's the perfect will of God, who will have all men and women and children and people everywhere, who will have all men, that's God's ultimate will and desire, to have all men, all women, God's people everywhere, his creation everywhere, come into, he says he will have them to be saved, one, which most of us are saved, and then two, to come to the knowledge of the truth. So apparently these two things are connected, but they are not one and the same thing. It is his ultimate will that all men will be saved. That's one. It is also his ultimate will that all men, all women, all of his creation will come to the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of the truth. I like the way the Amplified puts it. It describes it as divine truth. Let's read that from the Amplified. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. He says, God, who wishes all men to be saved and increasingly to perceive and recognize and discern and know precisely and correctly the divine truth. The divine truth. God will have all men know precisely the divine truth. What is the divine truth? The divine truth is the truth, the knowledge of the truth of the Word of God. The knowledge of the truth of the Word of God. He will have all men increasingly come into a higher level of perceiving and discerning and knowing, gaining knowledge of the divine truth. So after we've given our lives to Christ, we are saved, we're born again, praise God. Then our next task is to come into the knowledge of the divine truth. In every area of life, we have to know what is the divine truth. Once we access that knowledge and we recognize what is the divine truth, then the next thing we've got to do is begin to walk, to one, embrace those divine truths, and then begin to think, allow those truths to permeate our minds and our lives, and then begin to walk and act in those truths. To know the divine truth. I really love it very much. One of these Sundays recently, we were reading about Peter, who the Lord sent on an assignment to go and minister to the Gentiles in the house of the centurion, Cornelius. And the Lord, when he went to the rooftop, to pray while they were getting his meal ready, sometime during the day. The Bible tells us that when he got there, he had this vision, and this platform was lowered down to him with animals. And in his mind, remember, he's born again, he's saved, he's one of the foremost apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the leaders of the church. At this time, in his mind, the animals that he saw on that sheet that was lowered from heaven were unclean. Those animals were unclean. So then he heard this voice from heaven saying, "Kill and eat." And then what was his response? "Oh no, no, Lord, I have never eaten anything that is unclean. This is unclean. I cannot eat it." You see, he did not have divine truth. He did not have the knowledge of divine truth regarding a few things that God was doing and that God wanted to do. His mind was trapped in the old traditional beliefs that they had regarding the division between the Jews and the Gentiles. For all of us, every believer, every one of us, in different areas of our lives, our minds are trapped in certain beliefs, conjecture, certain notions, opinions, certain assumptions regarding the will of God and regarding the mind of God, regarding certain things that concern our lives. Our minds are stuck somewhere. And in order for us to be able to enjoy the perfect will of God, to be able to move forward in our lives and enjoy the goodness, the full goodness and full blessings of God in our lives, our minds have to be renovated to the divine truth in every one of those areas of our lives. Our minds have to be renovated to the divine truth. Our minds have to be renovated to what is the truth in the Word of God concerning these different areas of our lives. Until we contact and embrace and gain access to that knowledge, our minds cannot be renovated. So, you know, Peter, after this, the third time he saw that vision, the Lord was trying to work on his mind. The Lord said, whatever I've cleansed, don't call unclean. This is renovating, is helping him and challenging him to renovate his mind. It's the same way the Word of God is coming to us. The Word of God comes to us every day from the Holy Spirit. Remember, there are two ways in which the renovation of the mind happens. One, the very first one, is by the washing of regeneration by the water of the Word of God. We have studied this at length, so I'm not going back there. And the second one is through the transformation or through the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Every single day, the knowledge of the divine truth comes to us from the Word of God and from the Holy Spirit. In order for us to renovate our minds through the Word of God, in order for us to operate, to think like God, to elevate our lives, we must be willing to embrace those divine truths, embrace the knowledge of them, buy in completely into them, and begin to operate in every area of our lives by those divine truths. Well, of course, you know the story, but Peter, in Acts chapter 10, finally went to Cornelius' house. And when he got there, he started speaking to them. One of the first things he said when he got there, he says in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. Of a truth, I perceive. What was that? He embraced the divine truth. He didn't have it. He didn't know it before he had that encounter with the Lord and saw this sheet of animals. And the Lord telling him, eat, kill and eat. Whatsoever I've cleansed, don't call unclean. He did not know. He did not have knowledge of the divine truth. But after his encounter with the Lord, when the Holy Spirit had ministered this divine truth to him, he followed the servants that Cornelius sent. And when he arrived at Cornelius' house, this was the first thing he said, of a truth. He had embraced the divine truth in that area. I wonder what areas of your life and my life still remain where we have not yet fully embraced the knowledge of the divine truth. Because in every one of those areas, whether it's in our relationships, whether it's in the way we think about our relationships, the way we think about our finances, the way we think about our relationship with God, the way we think about our spiritual life, the way we think about our work, our career, the way we think about money, the way we think about our families, the way we think about other people, the way we, that every area of our lives, where we have not yet fully embraced or gained access to divine truth, the renovation, the process of renovation of our minds will be lacking. In every area, let's go back to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that which is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. In every area where we have not gained knowledge of the divine truth, every area of our lives, we will be conformed to the world. We cannot be transformed by the renewing of our minds. In any area where we still think like the world or like traditional people or like we used to think long ago, either before we came into Christ or right after we came into Christ, if we continue to think and operate by the principles of the world, how do people in the world think? Remember in that scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, where the Bible says, we have not received the spirit of fear. We have not been given the spirit of fear, but we have been given the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Well, we have studied this before. We have been given that, but it doesn't mean that we are walking in the reality of it. If instead of walking with a sound mind, we are walking with fear, we are walking with anxiety, we are looking for ways to protect and preserve our interests, we have ego, we don't walk in humility, we're always looking for ways to put the focus on ourselves rather than ascribe glory to God. If we're looking for ways to push ourselves forward before other people so that we gain the promotion that maybe only a few can get, and we feel, well, if I don't do it by myself, if I don't do it for myself, I may never get it. These are ways the world thinks. We keep our little money somewhere. If I don't keep it for myself, you know, I may not have enough. That's the way the world thinks. In every area of our lives where we haven't fully embraced knowledge of the divine truth, our minds will not be renovated. So very first step, glory to God, I've spent enough time on that. The very first step, and I still want to kind of go through some of our notes and our scriptures tonight, but this is so foundational. I believe at some point I'm going to have to move faster, but and not dwell so long on this, but this is foundational. The knowledge of the divine truth in every area of lives, of our lives, is the first step to having our minds renovated to the Word of God, to having ourselves begin to think like God thinks. Amen. Think about this. Let's give this example. Somebody does you wrong. If somebody does you wrong and you are in the world, or even after you came into Christ but you hadn't really renewed your mind or renovated your mind, the tendency is for you to do one of two things. You either retaliate and do them wrong back, or you find a way to keep a distance. You try to get away from them. Right? That's what the average typical person in the world would do. But as you begin to gain access to the knowledge of the divine truth, and somebody does you wrong, the first thing that you go to in your mind is, how does the Lord want me to address this? How does the Lord want me to deal with this? First of all, there has to be forgiveness. I can't take the offense. I must not take the thought of the offense. I must not allow that to stay with me. I can't afford to go home and all day, all night, I'm thinking about this wrong that this person did to me. I can't afford to do that. I've got to let it go. I can't go write it in my diary and keep it and plan to keep it for the next 35 years so that I can remember whenever I feel like remembering the evil they've done against me. Now, that's the way the world thinks about things like this. But when you come into Christ and you begin to renovate your mind and you gain access to the knowledge of the divine truth, you know, it's forgiveness. It's love. It's mercy. It's prayer. Like our Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. And then we don't look for ways to get back at them. We don't look for ways to retaliate. We don't look for ways to tell people so that everybody... I mean, how many times have we seen people in the body of Christ go around telling everybody the wrong that somebody did to them? And that person is their brother or their sister. And many times those things they say actually are perceived. These are wrongs that are perceived. Sometimes these are things that just in their minds. They've carried those things in their minds over and over. They've taken note of things that they shouldn't even pay attention to. They've kept them in their left hand so they won't eat with it. They would, you know, they've kept records of all these wrongdoings. And yet, in 1 Corinthians 13, the Bible says love does not keep an account. It doesn't keep a record of evil that is done against it. See, when you renew your mind, when you renovate your mind to begin to think like God thinks, and you renovate your mind to begin to do what the Word of God has commanded us to do, what the Holy Spirit has challenged us to do, then you find you a lot of things we think will be different, and a lot of things we do will be different. Amen. Amen. If somebody does you wrong, you know, most of the time we just want to curse them out. And sometimes we curse them out on the spot. Sometimes we do it later. And sometimes we don't do it out publicly, but we do it in our minds. And then we keep a grudge. We hold a grudge. And then we relate. How many people bear grudges? They'll tell you upfront, oh, I'm not bearing grudges. Oh, I don't bear. I've heard this. People having relational issues. I've heard it over the years, you know, thank God, way back then. People say to me, Pastor, I don't bear grudges. They don't say, they never go and say, the Word of God says this. No, what they say is, I don't bear grudges, but what they did and what they said, this and that. And you know, when they go around and share this with different people, because those people they share it, even though they are believers like them, but they also are not renovated in their mind, in their thinking, they also encourage them. Yes, how can they do that to you? How can they say that? And some of these people are pastors. Some of these people are supposed to be ministers in the body of Christ. Or at least they should know better. They've been saved for a long time. They've carried the Bible for years. They'll say, well, how can they do that to you? How can they say that to you? How can they treat you like that? But when you renovate your mind to think like God thinks, and you begin to operate at a higher level, you take that situation and you deal with it according to the Word of God. Because the Bible says, don't take the offense. Don't take the offense. No matter how many times that offense is sent at you, no matter how many things they do, maybe every single day. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ, remember one time, the disciples came and asked him, Lord, how many times should my brother sin against me, offend me, and I am expected to forgive them? 7 times a day? They thought that would be really good. The Lord said, no, 70 times 7. Amen. Well, that is infinity. What does that mean? See, that's the washing of regeneration by the word of God. What does that mean? Don't take account of the wrong. Don't keep it in your mind. Forgive them. Let it go. Let it go. You may have to ask the Holy Spirit for how to navigate that relationship. If it's one that you have to be in, or one that you have to be a part of going forward, you may have to ask the Holy Spirit. Not ask your carnal, unregenerated mind. I don't know why I'm teaching this. I believe the Lord wants me to say this. Some people need to hear this tonight. Not consult with your own unregenerated mind or what they are saying to you on TikTok or what you saw in that movie or in that documentary. No, what does the Word of God say? What's the Holy Spirit directing you to do regarding that relationship going forward? And then you follow the leading and the guide of the Holy Spirit, which will always line up with the Word of God. And when you do that, sometimes it may actually come with a measure of sacrifice. It may actually not be what you want to do. I never forget, several years ago, many years ago, I knew there was this older person that was just going around and running their mouths and kind of just maligning and just saying terrible things about me. And I remember one time the Lord said to me, it was around one holiday season, the Lord said to me, I want you to prepare a gift. And it was a very robust gift. It was a monetary gift. And the Lord said, I want you to go and bless them with it. I mean, of course, a part of my mind that was still struggling to be renovated, was almost arguing with that. Why should I do that? But of course, immediately, because I was already yielded to the Lord in those areas, I got the gift and gave it to them and blessed them. And I remember how they broke down crying, how can you bless me? How can you? Well, to renovate our minds to the Word of God enables us to live a higher quality of life. Oh my goodness. I spent so much time in that. There has to be something that the Lord was trying to get to someone. I don't know who, and I don't know exactly what, because there's so much time that I did not prepare to give to that particular topic that I just finished with right now. Amen. Or those examples, that area of life. So you go do what the Lord is telling you to do. Let the water of the word, let it wash you. Regeneration by the washing of the water of the word. Let it happen. Renewal of the Holy Spirit. Transformation by, let that happen. Let that process happen. Let's get right back in the word of God. Philippians chapter 4 verses 8 and 9. Everything begins, every renovation of the mind begins with the revelation of the truth. We can think, we can determine what we think. And what we think should be based on the truth. I want to advance. I believe the Lord is going to help me advance this tonight before my time is completely gone. But hallelujah. I know I said we kind of looked at some of this as we were closing last week or earlier on in our studies last week. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. But notice the very first part, whatsoever things are true. Every renovation of the mind begins with the revelation of the truth. Whatsoever things are true, think on these things. Whatsoever things are true. True based on what? True based on the word of God. True based on the word of God. Not true based on your emotions. Not true based on what somebody said. But true based on the word of God. What you think about yourself should be true based on the word of God. You can't think about yourself, I'm a failure. I don't think I can cross this hurdle. That's not true. Regardless of what experiences or failure you've had in your past, the word of God says you are more than a conqueror. The Lord causes you to triumph. So whatsoever things are true, think on this. So begin to think on that. This sickness is plaguing my body. I don't think I will ever break free from it. That is not true. I don't care how long you have had the symptoms. But he says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I will take all sickness and all diseases away from the midst of you. That's what the Lord said. That's the truth. So think on that. So if the Lord says, I will take all, so I've taken all sickness, by his stripes we're already healed, then your thought about whatever it is you are experiencing must be based on that. Whatsoever things are true, think on these things. Ephesians chapter 4, two verses in Ephesians, or two scriptures in Ephesians that we looked at very strongly last week. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22. From verse 22, hallelujah. Actually, from verse 20, let's take it from verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. You have not so learned him. You have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth. The truth is in Jesus. That you put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, therefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Truth. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. The very first piece of God's armor that we are instructed to put on is the belt of truth. This is so foundational. We just can't dance around it. We can't just gloss over it. We can't just run through it and try to get to something else. This is foundational. The truth is what lays the foundation. It's what creates the foundation for the renovation of our minds. The truth of the word of God. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And we studied last week. You can read that by saying, having your mind girt about or surrounded with truth, immersing your mind in the truth, surrounding your mind in the truth. Amen. You see that in the scripture we read in 1 Peter 1:13, hallelujah, where it talks about our loins, not just as the potential of our lives, not just, but almost also as where everything originates from. Amen. Our consciousness, our thoughts, our decisions, the posture of our lives. 1 Peter 1:13. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Take on the belt of truth means to surround your minds. It's a direct interpretation of that scripture. To surround your mind with the truth of the word of God. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when he says gird up the loins of your mind, if we go back and read in Ephesians 6, where he says, taking the belt of truth, let's read this. We can actually replace that where he says, stand therefore having your loins gut about with truth, we can read that as having the loins of your mind, because that's what we read in 1 Peter 1:13. So where he says, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, we can read it as, stand therefore girding up the loins of your mind with truth. Or stand therefore having the loins of your mind surrounded with the truth of the word of God. As the very first piece of the armor that we are told to put on. Glory to God. Truth is a defender. Truth is a defender of the mind. Truth establishes us. It establishes the mind. Remember that scripture we read in 2 Peter 1:12, where it says, you are established in this present truth. The truth is what establishes our minds. If you want to overcome the tendency to be double-minded, to be wavering, if you want to overcome the tendency to be doubtful, if you want to overcome the tendency to be dilly-dallying in your mind, or the tendency to be wavering, like the Bible says in James chapter 1, to be wavering like the sea in your mind, that means you are not resolute in certain areas. You are not focused. You are not courageous. You are not established in certain areas. Well, you need to embrace, you need to get the knowledge of the divine truth. You need a revelation of the truth in those areas that are causing you to waver. And once you get a revelation of the truth from the word of God, your mind becomes established in that. You remember in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, glory to God. He says there, this is Peter writing to the church, therefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, although you know them and you be established in the present truth. It is the truth of the word of God that establishes our mind. It is the truth, the divine truth of the word of God that establishes our mind. Without the knowledge of the truth, we are not established. Hallelujah. Without the knowledge of the truth in any area of our lives, without the knowledge of the truth, we are not established. Hallelujah. So he says there, having your loins, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. Amen. And you are established in the present truth. It is the truth that establishes us. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, Satan will only succeed. This is really important. Let's listen to this here. Satan will only succeed in sowing seeds of deception in a believer's mind when they have not completely embraced truth from God's word. Satan will only succeed in sowing seeds of deception in a believer's mind when they have not completely embraced truth from God's word. Remember what the Bible says about Eve in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3, Eve was deceived by the subtlety. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3, she was deceived by the subtlety of the serpent. He says right there, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled or deceived Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Why did the serpent succeed in gaining access to the point where he was able to deceive Eve and corrupt her mind, is because she was not established in the truth. Eve was not established in the truth of the Word of God. Look at how the Amplified puts it. The Word of God told them certain things specifically about the tree. That tree, the trees, and the one tree in the garden with the fruits. The Word of God told them certain things specifically about it. But when the serpent came, the serpent misconstrued what the Lord said to them. And Eve bought it. Well, how did that happen? It happened. Eve was deceived. She embraced the deception. She tripped over that situation because she was not established in the truth of the Word of God. When your mind is established in the truth of the Word of God, your mind is so established in that truth that no matter what comes from wherever, you stand. You see where he says in Ephesians 6, stand therefore, having your loins girt about, having the loins of your mind girt about with truth. Stand therefore, so you can stand. When you are established, when your mind is established in the truth, you do not waver. No matter what you hear, no matter what's coming at you, no matter the reports you are getting, you are established in the truth of the Word of God. I'm looking for that English word, the resolute. You are resolute. You are firm. You're all of that. But there's the pidgin word that's coming to my mind. You are kampe. You stand kampe. I've used that word before here. As you stand. But Eve did not stand. Look at how the Amplified Bible puts it. But now I'm fearful lest that even as the serpent beguiled or deceived Eve by his cunning, so your minds may be corrupted and seduced from wholehearted and sincere and pure devotion to Christ. So when our minds are not established in the truth, we are open and we are vulnerable to deception and to lies. People can easily buy into lies. It's very easy to believe a lie when we are not established in the truth. It's very easy for a lie to take over our mind when we are not established in the truth. We owe it to ourselves to be established in the truth, to embrace the revelation of the truth of the Word of God and to be established in it. Glory to God. I don't know if you've thought about it, but there's a difference between what happened to Eve and Adam, of course, in the Garden of Eden, versus what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness, right? When that, it was the same serpent, it was Satan who was behind it, but when he brought deception, Eve tripped over that deception. When Satan brought deception to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ stood, and he stood his ground and held firm. Why? Because his mind was established in the truth. There is no renovation. Let me go back to where we started from tonight. Every renovation of the mind begins with the revelation of God's truth. Every renovation of the mind begins with the revelation of the truth of the Word of God. Eve tripped over that deception, but Jesus did not. Let's read that scripture, because you remember when he came, right? He tried to trip him up. He tried to do something similar. Let's go to Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 4. Let's read from verse 9 to 13 in Luke chapter 4. He tried to trip him up, just exactly the same way he tried to tripped Eve up, right? He came almost like this authority who knows what he's talking about. He comes to try to influence us. He's an influencer. try to tell us, suggest to us, we don't have complete truth, right? There's an aspect of the truth that we are not privy to. God is keeping from us, right? If our minds are not established in the truth of the word of God, we trip up. But if we're established in the truth, look at it. Luke chapter 4 from verse 9. Let's read this and close out here tonight. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 4 from verse 9. And he brought him, let's just go straight to verse 9. He brought him, Satan brought the Lord Jesus Christ to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from here. For it is written, he will give his angels charge over you to keep you. See, that's deception right there. Because he's quoting the word of God, but he's quoting it not in its true context. Not in its true context. And he says, and he quotes it even further. And in their hands, they will bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. Jesus' mind was established in the truth. The context of the truth. When Satan said, prove. No, Jesus said, no, I don't have to do that. Because the Bible says, the truth of the word of God is, I don't have to prove anything to you. Amen. I am commanded not to tempt the Lord, not to take his word out of context to try to prove anything. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise tonight. It is the truth that establishes us. Truth is a defender of the mind. It defends and protects the mind against every deception of Satan and the world. Sometimes people are very sincerely deceived in their minds and they believe a lie. But when you embrace the truth completely in your life, truth from the word of God will shield your mind from every deception. Truth from the word of God will shield your mind from every deception. Jesus knew that what Satan was presenting to him was a lie because he had completely sold out to the truth. And that truth became protection for his thinking and emotions in that critical moment. Let's close out in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. This is one of those other scriptures that we have read quite a bit, but let's close out here tonight. Hallelujah. If you continue in my word, then you will be my disciples indeed. John chapter 8 from verse, let's read it from verse 31. Hallelujah. Then Jesus said unto the Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. You will have knowledge of the divine truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth will make you free. If you continue my word, you are my disciples indeed. You will gain knowledge of the divine truth, and the knowledge of the divine truth that you gain will make you free. Free from corruption. Free from deception. Free from conformity to the world. You will live at the level, that elevated level of life that God has prepared for you. Father, we thank you so much for tonight. We give you the glory and the praise. We bless and we magnify your holy name. Thank you for your mighty presence. Thank you, Father God, for teaching us your word tonight. I speak the blessings of heaven over all of my brothers and sisters. Father, let your word reverberate through our spirits all through tonight and the rest of this week. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, saints, for joining us tonight. We're out of time. I look forward to seeing you same time next week. God bless you. Good night.